Every 24 hours he gives us a new day, which comes with the incredible promise of new mercies. Every morning his mercies are new. Lamentations 3. New mercies every day. And every 30 days so we have the beginning of a new month. And every few months we have a season and finally the year. We as creatures, I don't know why we do this, we like to have a starting point, don't we? If you want to do something, does anybody ever start it on Tuesday or Thursday? You know, they'll probably wait and say, let me do it first next week. Or if you say, oh, it's a 20, let me start next month. So it's a new day or a new month or a new year or whatever. And so this is a reminder that I would pass on to you. With a new day, new week, new month, new year, this is it. I can't help but believe that God wants us to use these realities to constantly remind us that He really is in the process of making all things new. So the Christian walk, if you could just say it in a sentence, in a line, Christian walk is just constantly a new beginning, isn't it? So if you messed up royally yesterday, today's a brand new day, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. This is not even a Bible story. You get two for one. You pay the same price. It's okay. But King David, anybody ever heard of King David?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. Yet he committed adultery, fell flat on his face. So I guess he should have just committed suicide and jumped off a cliff somewhere. No, he didn't. He said, Lord, he cried for days. And he finally got peace, got up, got a new focus, and took off. King Saul later tried to kill him several times. David, he was being chased one time by the army of Saul. And he had a band of his merry men around him, as Robin Hood might. They called it David's Mighty Warriors, is what he called it, his mighty men, David's Mighty Men. And he thought, I can't hardly get out of this, guys. He came up with an idea. He started slobbering all over himself, stuck his tongue out, acted like he was what?
Possessed,
crazy. And the people come in there like, we don't need to kill this guy. He's worse than we ever thought. So they left him alone. He comes back in there and wipes the slumber off the gun. And this guy could have been Michael Weston off of Burn Notice. I mean, he's a covert operator. He knows what he's doing. So he gets through with that. What's the next thing? Saul continues to fight him. But I thought this was unique. The Bible tells you this story. He is at the Dead Sea, the lowest point of the world. David's hiding in a cave close to the Dead Sea. He's at the lowest point, literally, of his life. He's being chased. He's being shot at, you know, speared at. He's done everything. Everybody's abandoned, but a few. I'm not on the throne. King Saul's trying to, well, he's actually replaced Saul. Saul didn't like it too well. So I'm the king. I should be sitting on the throne. No, I'm far from home. I'm at the lowest point of my life. I just feel depressed. I feel low. And I'm literally at the lowest point on the planet. God says, let me show you what I can do. And brings you back up. And so by the time he gets through in the Bible, we actually say, man after God's own heart, King David. Mm-hmm. So did he survive all that?
Yeah.
He did quit thousands of times, but every morning his mercies are new. Isn't that cool? So I'm going to give you some hope for today. Encouragement. Last week we talked about peace. Check out a few things here. Mm-hmm. How would you like a fresh start? We're not going to do laundry today. I just thought I'd steal that picture. How'd you like a fresh start in this year right here in 2015? How would you like a fresh start? I would. We need a fresh start every day, not just in 2015. Let me give you a couple things about fresh starts today. I'll give you a great Bible story. Can't wait to tell you. Now, when we think of New Year's, we think of what? Resolutions. And I'm not talking about getting in shape on a treadmill, getting a diet, saving money, reading more books, or quitting smoking. That'd be great. If you do those things, that's wonderful. But that's not really what I'm talking about today. Because if you try those things and they quit in a week, then you'll quit and go right back. I'll just be, no. Resolutions are not magical in that they, oh, suddenly I'll do this for the rest of my life. Some of you may, some of you don't. But resolutions are good in one way, in that they're an opportunity. So here's a brand new year, brand new day, brand new week. Let's start it. What if I mess up? Here's a Christian resolution. Read the Bible what?
Every day.
I'm glad y'all said that, because in some circles you'd say, I need to read my Bible in a year. And you'll start in about the 15th or 16th of January when you've missed a day or so. Now you feel I'm behind. I'll just what?
Quit.
Well, great. So you've probably got the first 14 chapters of Genesis down for life, but the rest of the Bible you've never read. Why don't you do this? Just read something every day. I've actually got a reading plan. I can read 7 chapters of Matthew. And they said, well, that's a lot. Hang with me now. Don't give up yet. I've got 7 chapters of Matthew. Then you read the next 7 chapters. And if you read 7 chapters and you do that for 40 days, you'll have read the New Testament. 40 days? Yeah. You might think you can do that for 40 days. Just be stubborn enough to go, I'm going to read 7 chapters a day. The house is on fire. Okay? You got to read my Bible. You know, be that dedicated. How about this? No Bible, no breakfast. Some of you do well, but no Bible, no breakfast. I can't eat until I know. Can't eat until you read. I've actually went to bed at night. Oh, because you tell God, I'm going to read it before I go to bed. And then you lay down and have it. It's an angel.
Did you say you were going to
read? You're a liar. So I get up and go read. So how about using this opportunity? What opportunity? The opportunity of a fresh start. Opportunity of coming out of the box. Christian life's all about starting over. Now, did I say sin, sin, so we start over again? No, Apostle Paul would quickly say, God forbid that. But no matter how many times you fall, the key thing is to what? Not give up, but get up. A quitter is not someone who gets knocked down. A quitter is someone who stays down. So I don't care if we end up looking like we're Rocky going against Apollo Creed. It's like, get up! And you get up, and the devil goes, oh, I thought I had him. I mean, let me give you a couple of beginnings that I practice all the time. We must keep starting over. So when I sin, John, best friend of Jesus on the planet when Jesus lived here, he said, my dear children, little guys that he's won, you'd often call, Apostle Paul did this too, if I won rest of Jesus, I'd say he's my child. He's my spiritual kid. Okay, does that make sense? So John would say, my dear children, you guys I've won to Jesus. My dear children, I write these things unto you that you don't sin. But when you do sin, what's that imply?
You're going to mess up.
You're going to sin. It'd be like taking Owen now. One is you learn to walk. Don't fall down. But when you do, let me get you back up. Or me skating. I got a great skating technique. You know, keep this leg solid as a rock and go like this. Look like a crippled penguin when I skate. Jenny, she can skate backwards and do flips. I'm just like, she'll sometimes take me right out to the middle of the rink and leave me. Just go around. Nothing. The wall just seems so far away. And then I start off, move that flat down, and I'm a horrible skater. So somebody replying this to me that said, Edgar, don't fall. But when you do, because you will, we're going to get you back up. Wouldn't it be sad if you went to the skating rink? Got to go skating. Let's just pretend. You walk into the skating rink, you pay your money, and go, what's that out there? Oh, it's a guy. He fell a couple weeks ago. He just refuses to get up, so he's in the middle of the skating rink. Will you skate over him? Keep on going. What if somebody in your house was fixing food and they turn around and fell down? What would you do? Call 911? Obviously. You would not go, wow, Grandma fell down. I'm going to get my cereal and keep on. Hope she gets up after a while. You wouldn't do that. Get them up. Well, why don't we do that to believers? If you stumble, John says, get up. I don't know. I'm just so thinking. Quit your whining. How'd you like to have John as a football coach? Get up. Well, I don't know. I just don't sin. But if you do, don't forget we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the propitiation, big word means stand in. For our sins. Not for ours only, for the sins of the whole world. But will God really forgive me? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The devil says, oh, you can't get forgiveness for that. There's a limit on how many times you can sin. Is there?
No.
I wish there was, so I'd quit sinning. But Peter, remember when he asked Jesus, how often should I forgive someone? 7 times? You only had to forgive somebody 3, so Peter thought he was really being spiritual. 7 times? Jesus says, how about 70 times 7? Let's see, 7 times. Jesus' point was, forget how many times you forgive me. I forgive you countless times. How many times has Jesus really forgiven you of sins? Tell the truth right now. If you just glance by, I hate you. And then it was last week. I mean, just think, if you could sin once every 8 hours, how many times would you sin a day? 324. At the end of a week, 21. At the end of a month, 84. At the end of a year, around 1,000. Let's see, I'm 60 years old. I've sinned 60,000 times right now. And I want Jesus to forgive me. And that's if I was a walking angel. I probably got that down. Some of y'all got that in a year of college. I'm just, don't sin, but when you do, I'll forgive you if you confess it. You want a new beginning today? All right. Are you ready for a fresh start? I'm just going to keep asking you that. I am ready for a fresh start. I hope you are. So general goals then. This is what I was thinking of. I'm going to ask you to look at this, and I'm going to have you turn to a shortest book, and it's a real small book. Not the shortest one in the Bible. It's 2 John would be that one. But if you've got a Bible close by, I want you to turn to the back of the Bible. Last book in the back of the Bible is what?
Revelation.
So I want you to keep going to the left. We're going to go from Revelation to then 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, James, Hebrews. And if you keep going, right behind, tucked in, nice and small, right in behind the book of Hebrews is one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's 25 verses. It's Philemon. Some people call it Philemon. I've always called it Philemon, so that's what I'm going to call it today. If you've got a blue Bible here, Pew Bible as they call it, 845 is the page. Let me give you a couple of church goals, and then I'm going to tell you something about Philemon. This is what the Lord reminded me of the other day. Here's some church goals. I just thought I'd use this. Anybody remember this when you was a little kid? This thing. What's this called?
Top.
The top. Yeah, you'd spin it and you'd go around. I just thought of this. Just use an acronym here. A testimony, an outreach, and prayer. This is what God has impressed upon me. I want us to try to do this in the upcoming year. To have a... if we do this on a Sunday morning, if I said, you know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who's got a good, you know, word for the Lord today? You know, God was good this week, this is what happened. I wouldn't mind that at all. Specifically, maybe we could always just pick a Sunday. I've been in a church one time and they said, who's got a good word for the Lord today? Just tell me who's got a testimony. They stood up, next thing you know, the preacher never spoke. Jesus is, next time people are crying, standing up, and I'm like, wow, just thanks for letting me be here and be a part of it. People just weep, telling what Jesus has done for them. Hey, that's church. So I wouldn't mind giving a testimony. All of us have got one. I don't know if I want. You don't want to tell what Jesus has done for you? Can you imagine me being arrested, pretending? They put me on the stand and they say, okay, maybe you said it's a character reference and you mentioned your sister. So Melanie Hart, do you know this guy?
No.
Melanie, they're going to lock me up. I don't believe I know you. How about this? Jesus says, Chris, you got anything to say for me? Chris, I'm your Savior. I saved you from hell. So, Russ, you get to walk with me. I'm not picking on Russ and Chris. Paul, I'm just confident. I want to speak up for Jesus. So next time somebody at Salem Hospital, yeah, how's your church going to do it? Great. God bless them. Let me tell you, when I met Jesus, I didn't know you'd preach. Man, we just got to. Jesus is coming back soon, you know? Wouldn't it be great? I would never want anybody. Why didn't you tell me? Well, then that's sort of called outreach. I've got a small book of John. I've got lots of them. My goal is to try to do this. I would love to put one of these in everybody's hand. We've got about 25, 30 people in here. If you gave one of these out in a month, just one. I'm not asking you to do it every day. One. Find somebody to give it to in a month. How many would we give out this month? Let's say 25. How many would we give out in a year? 300? 300 gospels you put out somewhere. How many people we save from that? I don't know, but it's up to God to do that. He's called us to be faithful. So, I mean, that's an outreach. Or how about, Russ reminded me a couple weeks ago, he works at a place where we might be able to get in there once a month and do a service. That's an outreach. Can you imagine going in with some older people that can't come to church? And we show up on a Sunday night and go, we'd like to do a few songs and just give a short devotion. They would love you to do that. I walked in visiting a retirement facility one time. I was looking for somebody, knocked on a door, and I looked in and said, is this so-and-so? And they said, no, but would you come in anyway? What's that tell you? I didn't even know the woman. She didn't know me, but she just wanted somebody to come in and sit with her. That's an outreach. So we could hand out the book of John, or we could just go and sit once a month. Especially when we want to pray. So here, some few verses to back those up. Check out the church goals. Here's what I was thinking of. Testimony. Comes up in Psalms. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let's count Satan the enemy. He is. God has saved us from that. Man, I want to be redeemed. I am redeemed, so I want to speak up. How about this outreach? Can you consider these couple of verses? How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. You ever been looking for something in the mail? Oh, the mail's here. The old mail I'm talking about. And they hand you a letter. Yes, this is what I've been looking for. That's what a lost person could probably say if you told them about Jesus. Man, I'm so glad you knew. I knocked on the door one time. It's been a few years ago, I'm convicted to say. I knocked on the door, and the person went, "Ah!" Can of beer, his hand looking at me. Smoked it. What do you want? I thought like saying nothing at all. I'm just going back to the phone. But I didn't. What do you want? I was going to come in and talk to you about Jesus. Oh. Honey? Come on in. Almost felt like he told me to. But he came in and said, "Hey, what are you going to do?" I said, "No, but I'll take a Coke." "Oh, yeah. Right, probably. Can you get him a Coke?" He goes, "Notice how I did that. You got to be careful. I don't want a beer, you slime bag. Don't do that. You turned off a lost person forever. Don't do that. You'll hurt his feelings." I would drink that. A guy in front of him. Don't be self-righteous. And don't go, "Yes, I'll drink it. I'll knock down a few with you." Then they're thinking, "Now, why did you come? Because you're just like me. You know, if somebody's in the ditch, I don't even have to get out of here." It didn't make a whole lot of sense, did it? "Let me get you out of the ditch. Don't crawl in there with you. I'll take a cup." "Oh, that's great." Sat there and talked to him. He said, "You know, we've been sort of thinking about church in the last week or so, wondering this might come by." By the time we left, he accepted Jesus, his wife rededicated her life, and they showed up at church the next couple of weeks. I didn't even want to go in before. "You got this. Let me show you what I can do." My feet were beautiful that day because I brought peace. A prayer? How about this? Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. He loves this one for pray. Well, I don't even know how to. God help me. Good. We're off to a good start. "Lord, my family needs you. I'm struggling right now, but I know you're there for me." And whatever words you can get out. "So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Another verse on prayer. I love this one. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. If you don't know what to say in prayer, there's two things. God, I thank you for who you are, and I'm grateful that you need to start filling me in. Likewise, the Spirit helps us, and you say, "Sometimes I feel so inadequate." Well, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, but we do not know what to pray. If you say, "I don't even know what to say." Hey, Paul wrote that to the Romans. If we don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, you picture somebody at a funeral home who's had a loss, and they're sitting there, and if I went up with them and said, "I would say, start to say, pray." I can't get the words out. They can't get the words out. Who's praying for us? Holy Spirit, come to you. Just picture the Holy Spirit coming up, putting an arm on me and that person. God, these people are hurting and they're broken. Holy Spirit's interceding for us. That's what happens? Yeah. You want me to pray for you? You say, "I'd love it." I know. Let's ask Jesus to pray for you. You think God hears his son's prayer? "Father, Edgar's hurting us. You've got to help me." Holy Spirit. I want us as a church this. Give a testimony. Be more of an outreach and pray more. Next, consider these few things in as a church. Let's go down to the next list. Andy, punch it up there for me, please. Testimony, outreach, prayer. If you really think about it, all three of these things are closely related. Because not only for church, but individuals. Here's why they're related. We should always give a testimony for what God's done. Don't be ashamed. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Romans 1:16. "It's the power of the God and the salvation." Here's the next thing. Don't be ashamed to give a testimony. Always want to reach out. If you had something good happen to you, don't you want to have something good happen to someone else? Go tell them about what God's done for you. And for prayer, we should not be afraid, embarrassed, or neglectful to pray. Don't you want to give God credit for what he's done? Number two, don't you care about others and want to enjoy God?
Yep.
And number three, don't you want to talk to God? I still remember Jonathan Falwell telling me this about his dad. His dad wasn't saved. As a matter of fact, he never graduated from high school. Well, he did get a high school diploma, but he wasn't allowed to walk because I think, as I remember the story, he threw firecrackers under a van as it went by on the road. Jerry was a pretty radical guy back then. So they expelled him from school, kicked him out for about in the first week or so of June. And since he couldn't graduate from high school, Brookville High School, Brookville Bees, he pretty rough. Got saved the next year or so after that in the first group of people who wanted to save was his family. Went to his mom and dad, went to his brother, uncles, aunts. I wanted to tell my family. If you get a few families in, next thing you do, you get four or five families, you build a church. That's cool. Okay. My church goal, I just want us to be more TOT, talk. But how about you? Well, I've just got this individual goal. We're going to relate this to the story. Picture me coming to get people. But I'm going to give you these three letters to help you remember this. Gap. There's a gap between us right there, but I'm going to put this one over here. I want us to, as a church and as you, have a vision. Now, what's a vision? A vision's a goal or it's just a dream. My vision, like to help Andy and to build a house. What's your vision this week? Let me get, Margie, could you have a short-term vision? I'm going to get the house cleaned up. What's a daily vision? I'm going to get the dogs walked. It's your, what some people call, if they check them off, what do you all call that every day? That's your to-do list. You've got to walk the dogs, you've got to get the clothes washed. Good. Let's broaden that a little bit. I got a vision. Let's have every chair in here filled. Within what? June 1st. No chairs left. Empty. Start praying. Virginia, can I tell them what you do when you come to church? Virginia comes in here and... why don't you tell them what you do? As you clean, what do you do?
We try and go to each chair and pray.
So she goes by every chair and prays that it'll be filled. Is that fair? Yes. I appreciate you going there. Please let me pray. You say, is it something mystical or magical? No, no, it's nothing. I don't have to do that. But if it's something about this holding on to something, if it's not, how can we do that? Why do I keep something of my daddy's? Why have I got my daddy's guitar pick in my case? It didn't help me play better, obviously, today. But it's like, that's a reminder of my daddy. He's probably why I play, because I grew up listening to him. Some of you will say, oh, I've got to hang on to that. That's where I'm at. That doesn't mean power stuff. But it's just something. It's an object lesson. Well, that's what a vision is. A picture is. Take a chair. It helps me pray about it. Number two, so you envision this place just being filled with people. How about number two? You got to set goals. You say, okay, I'm going to read the book of Matthew at the end in January. Something feasible. And by the way, if you don't reach a goal, do this. Make an adjustment and just start off again. Just don't quit. Because anything is better than no thing. And finally, persevere. Now, if I could put all those things together, let's check this next one out. Give you a few verses to back it up and tell you why I'm doing this. A vision. Here's what the Bible says. People perish without a vision. If you don't have a dream, if you don't have something, if you take the work away from us, if you're busy, it's like you're doing stuff. Some people, if they're not busy, if you just set them down after a couple days, what they call, it's almost like cabin fever sets in. And you're out there in the backyard, you just chop down a tree. What are you chopping down that tree for? That's the neighbors. I just got to do something. I'm about to go crazy. We have a mind to build. We want to do something. So you have a vision. Let me get this done. I'll go crazy if I don't have a dream. So we perish without a dream. The Bible says, yeah, you got to have a goal. You fill it in. What if you want to say, I'm going to walk a mile a day, or I'm going to lose 5 pounds in a month? That's a dream. That's a goal. Or you can say, who cares? And we just stare at the TV. Can't do that. You've got to have a dream. You've got to have a vision. And we've got to set these goals. So here's what goals. It reminds me of this one. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Once you first sit down, count the cost, see if you have enough money to complete. You've got to have a goal. And by the way, those goals can be obtainable. And hopefully you can set it down. And if not, maybe we haven't committed our work to the Lord. God will establish our plans. What's next? Once you get your plans going, what if you mess up a little bit? That's all right. Just make an adjustment. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Philip had a goal. He had a vision. He wanted to win people to Jesus. Yay! Had a goal. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and we're going to start having this nothing short of a revival, and all the disciples are just packed out. It'd be like a Christ party. Everything's great. Angel shows up and says, Philip, I need you to leave the party and go to a desert road. Go down to Gaza. Gaza's a desert. So I'm supposed to leave a party and go walk in the desert? You just do what I told you to do. Adjustment time. Notice his adjustment. He leaves the party. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise, go toward the south to the road. It goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. Yeah, send me to the desert. You know what, Philip? Can I just stay here? No. So he goes down on the desert road. An Ethiopian eunuch goes by from Candace the queen, and he says, "Do you know what you're reading?" And even he says, "Unless someone tells me, I don't." It says Philip got into the chariot and explained to him about Jesus. Next thing you know, he leads him to the Lord, and he says, "There's a pool of water. What's keeping me from getting baptized?" Nothing. He baptizes him, goes on his way excited. By the way, where was that guy who was lost on his way to hell until that point? Where was he coming back from? Church. He had been to church, reading this, didn't understand it. And Philip, on a missionary trip, goes out to the desert and wins him to Jesus. How's that adjustment? Is that pretty good? I would think that was a good adjustment. And then it says the Spirit snatched Philip up and sent him on another direction. Philip's just out there going everywhere for the Lord. Finally, perseverance. But what if I don't read the Bible? What if I read five chapters and I missed one day? It's okay. Pick it up the next day. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. You got to hang in there. Don't give up. Well, I don't even feel like going to church today. Go anyway. 2 Thessalonians says, "And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right." Now, this is what I should do, but I don't know. Well, then do what you should do. Can I put all this into a story? I'm going to capture all this into the story of about one person. So check it out. Next thing. Ready for a story of a what? Fresh start. So let's go. This person's going to get a fresh start on life. He is in trouble. He's not been doing too well. And it's a beautiful story of effective sharing, what we've been talking about, an appealing faith and refreshing others. It's a story of a man been set free. Let's read the book of Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Alphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading this the other day, and I didn't even get that far before I started taking the pen and underline stuff. What's the first description of a person? Paul of what? Prisoner. What's Timothy? His what?
Brother.
Philemon of what? Dear friend, yeah. And he's a fellow what? Worker. To Alphia, what? Sister. Archippus. What's Archippus?
Soldier.
And to the what? Church. That meets where?
Yes.
They meet in your house. Is that where house churches come from? I'm glad we got LifePoint. I love LifePoint. But if somebody ever comes up, we sort of belong to a house church. I still do that. Don't mean to, but I've known people to have 10 people meet in this house, and about once a month they'll all get together and have about 70 people, but outside that, almost every Sunday, they'll just sit around, drink coffee at the house. You know, you love it. Drink coffee at the house, sit around, read the Bible and stuff. But so it's almost like a huge Bible study. What's wrong with that? They meet in the house church. But let me give you that again. Prisoner, brother, friend, sister, soldier. I just love those things. Paul's writing somebody. She says, "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy." That's who the letter is coming from. Sounds like they put the closing as their salutation. "This is Paul and Timothy, my brother. Our brother. We're going to write to you." And he writes to Philemon. And he says, "Say hello to those people back home." Why? Fellows knew Paul could be in prison, could be in house arrest himself. Thanksgiving and prayer. Remember I told you? If you don't know what to say in a prayer, how about just saying, "I'm thankful. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers." If you would pray for me, man, pray to your pastor. I might steal this trick from somebody. I saw somebody they passed a basket one time at a men's conference, and Mike Young is the guy who's in charge of the men's ministry, Impact Ministry. Iron sharpens iron. He's in charge of that. He passed a basket around full of nickels. He said, "Take a nickel out." we knew we were in for a surprise because no church has ever told us to take money out of the basket. But anyway, we took a nickel out, and he said, that represents five days. Would you pray for me Monday through Friday this week, 5 days? And if that's the case, I'm going to give you all a dollar. I just need your prayer all the time. So pray for me. And Paul says, would you pray for me? As a matter of fact, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayer. So he's praying for Philemon, and he says, oh God, thanks for Philemon. He's such a good guy. Because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Philemon, you're such an encouragement. You love people. You love Jesus. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith. What did he just now ask him to do? Active in sharing your faith. So what's he asking him to do? Go hand out the book of John to somebody where he works. Next time you pull up, putting gas in the car sheets. How's it going? You doing all right? Yeah. How about them Steelers? Now, how about this one? Whatever your team did. Yeah, they're doing pretty good. Hey, can I just give you this book just for a little? Just want to make sure. What is it? It's a book of John. Our church likes to give them out. All right, thanks. Yeah, that can work. I give out two at the credit union last week. I'm just going to start putting them in people's hands. God, you do what you want to. I want you to be active. This passive stuff's got to stop. So he says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Now, what do you think of the book so far? Good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't like the words that the world uses sometimes, but it's like, you're buttering me up, aren't you? Man, you do such a great, you're good. Can I have $10? You know, that's, you know, you can just tell that. Not that y'all have ever had anybody do that to y'all in the office. Hey, man, that's great. Have you got $2? I've already eaten lunch, though. Who are you again? You know. Paul has spent the first few verses saying, Philemon, you're a great guy. I love you. I pray for you all the time. It's just wonderful. Can I talk to you about something? Now, Philemon, if he's a good friend, he'd say, sure, what's on your heart? We might say, I knew it was coming. What do you want? Don't do that. Here's what he asked him. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and what? Order you to do what you ought to do. Hey, I could just tell you, here's what you need to do, but I don't want to do that. I'm going to ask you, would you do me a favor? I could just be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. Yeah? I appeal to you on the basis of love. Parents, have you ever done that with your kids? I could tell you. Would you go pick up your room like it should be, please? Okay. Get out, clean that room. You could do that if you want to. You could do either one, but which one do you think gets along better? You know, the kid goes, clean your room. Y'all clean it. Kicking clothes under the bed. Clean. You don't want to. He doesn't want that. He wants the fellowship to stay sweet. So he says, I could order you to do something, but I want to appeal to you. Here's what my request is. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a what? Prisoner, right from the jail cell. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. Remember what I told you? John calls people his children when he wins them to Jesus. Paul has won Onesimus to Jesus. He says, can I write to you about Onesimus, who became my son while I was what?
Chains.
See, again, this thing is so chock full, it's just love these blessings. Paul's in jail, and they throw Onesimus in there too. Get in there! Yeah! Throws him aside, and Paul goes, what are you in for?
Stole it sometime.
Do all that stuff wrong. Thanks.
Yeah, I used to be a thief. I used to kill people. That's what scoots up.
Yeah, I used to be a murderer. Used to be awful. Then something happened.
Really?
What happened?
Met a man named Jesus.
What are you doing in jail now?
You're cutting in jail for preaching.
Why are you preaching?
Got to.
Can't be quiet. Tell me about this Jesus.
Well, he leads him to the Lord while everybody's in jail.
Isn't that amazing? Or Paul could be like you and me on certain days. Get off me. Get over. I'm gonna blow my way out of here without him. You're so worried about it. Paul makes the best. He's in jail. So he leads in this mess of the Lord. Young man, probably. Who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was what? Useless. You know what Onesimus means, his name? Onesimus means useful. Really?
Useful.
He wasn't living up to his what? His name. What if my name, Edgar, meant bold for Jesus, and I don't say one word to anybody? Winner of souls. What's your name? Your name means winner of souls, and you don't ever say anything? You say, well, I'm lucky. I don't have a name that means that. Yeah, you do. You have a name, Christian. And that means Christ. And that means you need to represent Him. Onesimus is useful. Useless. His name means useful. How ironic is that? Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become what? Useful both to you and me. He's living up to his name. I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. Okay, now pause there in the story just for a second and glance up here at the screen. I want to tell you, Onesimus was what? Why is he sending him back to Philemon? Because Philemon owns him. That is, Onesimus was a what? He's a slave. Now let's see. I'm a slave to my slave owner, and you're asking me to go back to him. Well, in this time, that's what he should have done. It's like Hagar was a handmaid to Sarah, and Sarah was picking on Hagar and Ishmael, making fun of them, and Hagar just took off. An angel of the Lord appears up and says, Hagar, I know you're being mistreated. I know. I've heard it. Yeah, I can just picture an angel sitting there going around, you know, talking to Hagar and says, now Hagar needs you to do something. I need you to go back and submit to Sarah. Well, yeah, right. You got that right. No, you need to go back and submit to her and be a good servant for her. Because I'll bless you, boy, Ishmael. And so she went back. That would be like you storming out of your job at work and I'm thinking, Brett, I know it's getting to you. She got to go back and hang sitting over where you got to. I know he's an intolerant. I know your boss is, you know how that, or you could say at school, a student in a classroom. I know this is stuff, but you need to go back in there and do what that teacher said. Johnny, you need to do what mom said. And kids will say this sometimes, they don't mean it. Go ahead, Philly, and what do they say?
I hate you.
I'm sorry you feel that way. I still love you. Maybe you need to go in and pick up that ring. I'm running away from home. Here, let me start the call. Why do you try to be funny? Remember Obi on Andy Griffith ran away from home? He got his father to help him write the note that he was going to leave. I'll help you write the note. I am running away. Okay. Man, I don't want to run away. Sometimes we feel like this. We're, I don't know what we are. We've got to answer to somebody, something, whatever. And we just feel like taking what's ours and leaving. If we take what's not ours, we're called a what? Here's what Onesimus was. He stole some things and then cut loose. So he got put in jail for stealing. So let's see. You're a runaway slave. Onesimus was a, next thing?
Thief.
He's a thief. Third thing, he's a what? If I got on board a boat and didn't pay, what would they call me?
Castaway.
They call me a
stowaway.
I can't get on a boat and hide down. Next time you try a Carnival cruise, go down to the bottom and stay there, you can't do that. If I'm paying $4,000 on the top and you try to just, you can't do that. So let's see, he's a slave who stole some things and then he runs away. And by the way, I will give you something about that first part. Although that's what they call him and he's working, Philemon's a believer and he's really taking care of Onesimus. I think Onesimus is just, I've had enough. And I just take off and leave everything behind me. Here's the next thing Onesimus is. Onesimus goes to jail and met who? Meets this man named
Paul.
And Paul says, I understand what you're going through. Why? Because I used to mistreat people. And finally, he tells him what he needs to do. I want you to go back. And he says, I don't know about that. He wants him to live after his name. And verse 12, read this for me. I am sending him who is my very what? I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him here with me so he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. I'd love to keep him here with me if you don't want him. He's a great guy. But I did not want to do anything without your consent so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. I'm not trying to talk you into doing anything, Philemon. If you want to send him back, that's spontaneous on your part. I'm not going to go ahead and keep him. So I'm going to send him back because it's the right thing to do. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. You see, if he would stay with you and hadn't taken off, he would probably just keep running away and running away. But God allowed him to run away this time so he could meet me. He touched his heart. He'll never run away from you again. Why? Because he's got a whole new outlook and a start. He's got a fresh start. And you say, okay, Edgar, I don't understand that totally. Run that back again. Okay, if you're forcing me to do something, I feel just like bucking you all the time. But if I have a heart change, I'll do it because I want to do it. I had a boy running sprints one time playing basketball. His name was Bobby Donald, and Bobby got up on the line. Bobby didn't want to ever sprint. And the whole team was being a little bit lazy that day, so I was encouraging them to do better. What are you doing? I got so enthralled one time. I went like this. I said, I don't want to do like this and kick y'all if you don't. But I wouldn't kick them, but you know, that's the coach part. I'm going to haul off and just kick you guys. If you don't start, I'm going to do like this. Well, I kicked my back leg and went off the ground. I went straight up and bounced on the table on my back. Nobody laughed. Then you better. One of them later told me, I was about to die later because you got killed yourself. But I'm going to say a word. Put them on the line. We started running. Ran about five or six. Bobby's coming in every time. About seven. A couple of them are just goofing off because I finally went over and said, let me tell you what, guys. I'm not going to call you by name. I need your best. If you've been giving me your best, great. Going up in the locker room. You're here. If you haven't been giving me your best, stay right there. The two or three goofers off. I didn't say a word. I started saying, where are you all going? Bobby, on the other hand, still going like this. I go over and I said, Bobby, you won every sprint. But he said, but I haven't been giving you my best. So I'm going to keep going. Okay. Then I need your best this time. Kept on running. So Onesimus, you keep running away from Philemon. I need you to stay with him. I need you to form a New Year's resolution and you'll stay with him. My resolution, I will not run away for a month. No, it's not going to work. Paul says, here's what you need. You need a fresh start, and that start's going to come from Jesus. I need you to accept Christ as your Savior and get forgiveness of your sins and have your whole life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if a man be in Christ, he's a what? New creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. I need you to be a new person. He wins him to Jesus. Onesimus, I need you to go back to Philemon and talk to him. Oh, that's going to be tough. I know. But I'm going to write this letter. You take it with you. He has no idea probably what that letter's saying, but that's the letter that you're reading today. So Onesimus goes back. You're a slave, you're a thief, you're coming back. That would be like a convict or a criminal today doing what? Showing up at the what? Jail. And saying, I'm here to do what? Turn myself in. Why? I don't want to run anymore. My life's been changed. Let's read the rest of the story. Perhaps the reason why he's separated from you for a little while is that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, and even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. By the way, when Onesimus went back, how do you think Philemon introduced him from then on to his house? It's one of my slaves. He didn't say that. Can we get some food? By the way, this is Onesimus. He's a dear brother in Jesus. Can you give us some meat?
Absolutely.
So if you would consider me a partner, welcome him back as you would welcome me. If he's done anything wrong or owes you anything, you know that stuff he's done, charge it to me. I'll pay his debt. Who does that remind you of spiritually? See, that's why I read this story, not start weeping. Guys, you and I are slaves. We're on Onesimus. And Jesus himself says, I'll pay his debt. You take him back. No longer is an outcast renegade radical out there going crazy, doing stupid stuff. Take him as a child of God because I'm going to pay for his sins. Okay. And God no longer says, Edgar, you old sinner. He says, Edgar, my dear child. So Jesus writes me a letter and says, here you go. By the way, that letter was written in what? Dark crimson. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I'll pay it back, whatever he's stolen or anything. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. By the way, Philemon, just want to remind you, I've paid a few debts for you. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ Jesus. Now, confident in your obedience, I know you're going to do the right thing. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. One thing more, prepare a guest room for me because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Hope to get out of this jail cell soon. Then he closes it. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner for Christ Jesus, sends you his greetings, and so do Mark, Archicus, Demas, Luke. Luke's the same guy who wrote the gospel. Luke, that's his personal physician. My fellow workers, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Paul was in such bad shape physically, he had a personal doctor traveling with him. That was Luke. Onesimus means useful. So my question for you, can you live up to your name? Philemon, let me see what we got in common with you. We're all slaves to sin. He might have been a slave, we're slaves to sin. We've all stolen from God because he wants us as his own child. Yet we know it's my life. I'll do what I want to. And we run away from him. Some of us ran longer than others. By the way, we still do that, even though we are his child. Have I ever been backslidden in life? Tell the truth. Four of us. Wow. We just run from God. We know what's best. How about this one? And then we finally do. We need to just say, I mean, now we've met him first time. You only need to get saved once. Mm-hmm. I've met Jesus. But I tell you, going through high school, I had to sit down and talk with him, sort of meet him again. So Jesus, it's been a long time since I've talked to you. I know he is my Savior, but boy, he says, I'm welcome home. So we need to sit down and talk with him, meet with him, because we all need fellowship. Are you in this mess today? I guess it's time to pray then. So, Philemon, goodwill, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we're all in need of a fresh start. Brand new day, new week, new month, new year. And Jesus, when we start off, help us be fired up and ready to go for you. And in about a week, when we fall flat on our face, we will, as John writes, don't sin, but when you do, get back up. And we defeat the devil and we rise again. And then, Jesus, when we start off again, help us to have continued fresh starts. Help us to fight sin and try not to, but when we do, not let it defeat us. So we need a fresh start today. There's nothing magical in a fresh start. There's nothing mystical about placing our hand on a seat and praying that it might be filled with a lost person. It's nothing mystical about us just holding our Bible close to us and being thankful for the Word. But Jesus, yet there seems to be that object lesson teaches me something. So I love to pray over something. We love to pray over food before we eat it. We love to pray over our children as they go to sleep. We love to look at a picture of a lost loved one and pray for them. We love to look at pictures of people that are in heaven with you right now. And that just encourages us to know, God, you've got a place prepared for them. It'll be okay. So Jesus, today, we're in essence. You just come home. You start us off. And Lord, thank you for presenting us before the Father. Faultless and blameless because your blood covers us. Thanks for all you do for us. Now help us to have that fresh start for this year. Lord, please encourage my fellow believers right here with me. And I don't know what day we're going to get hit this week. The devil throws stuff at us. That's all right. We'll keep smiling, get back up, and keep going. Help us to defeat him, and we can by reading, by praying, and staying close to you. That's our goal. Just put on the full armor, having our faith, having the peace only you do. So Jesus bless us today. Don't forget, God offers one gift all year long. So it's okay, Christmas is over. What gift does God offer all year?
Salvation.
How about this? God gives a free gift of eternal life every time you want it. It's not Christmas anymore. It's Christmas every day in heaven. And angels rejoice when they come home.